Welcome back to America Weekend. Valerie Smaldone here, and the program is Valerie Smaldone and Friends. And in just a minute, I'm going to direct you to Kathy Groon, who is the owner of the website Butterflower Sugar Salt. Kathy is a home cook who is really awesome at what she does. She makes these unique recipes and shares them with the world. Kathy was a former book publicist and is now doing what she loves to do, which is create engaging and delightful recipes. So in a minute, Kathy is going to give us her version of a dessert that sounds wonderful. It involves baking, and I think that's perfectly fine. Certainly if you're in an air-conditioned home in the summer, it works. But for those of us who don't want to turn the oven on, I do have some other ideas for desserts for the summer. And I don't really spend a lot of time doing desserts when I have people coming over. I spend more time on the food portion, you know, the appetizers, the little picky things you have before you sit down to dinner, and then the full dinner. So sometimes I'm looking for inspiration for easy things to do. I don't enjoy baking myself. I like eating the items, but I don't enjoy baking myself. So I've been searching around for some no-bake summer dessert ideas, and my research brought me to Woman's Day magazine. They have a whole article on no-bake summer desserts. Some of them are terrific, like cheesecake-stuffed strawberries. Now, obviously, strawberries are in season. You hollow out the strawberry, and you take a combination of cream cheese and sugar and maybe some vanilla, and you whip it up and put it in the strawberry. I'm going to go one step further because I prefer ricotta to cream cheese. So you can get a nice thick ricotta cheese. You can do the same exact thing, whip it up with some sugar, a little vanilla, whatever flavorings you want, put that in the strawberries. I think that's a really great way to end a meal because you're getting the fruit from the season and you're getting the sweetness from the cheese. Another thing that I love to end a meal is simple, peaches in wine, peaches in season. You take a nice red wine and you can have a little bit of sweetness in the wine if you want to add that, or maybe some flavoring, and you have a delicious and refreshing dessert. So there are some of my ideas. And now I defer to a real expert in the field, Kathy Groon, and her recipe for dessert on America Weekend.
Hi, Valerie. I'm so excited to share this great dessert with you today. This is a dessert that's really simple, yet completely captivating when it's presented at the table. It's called the pavlova, and it's a meringue-based dessert that has a wonderfully crisp outside shell, yet soft, light, airy inside. It's truly a sugar lover's dream. And it's named for the Russian ballerina Anna Pavlova, and it's said that when Miss Pavlova danced, she danced as if she was on a bed of clouds floating by. I love this image because I love the clouds and I love looking up at the clouds. And I can remember as a little girl, I used to stare at them all day and I would look up and I would see the clouds in different shapes and I would yell, I see a rabbit, I see a duck. It was just a lot of fun. And while I can't necessarily touch the clouds, I can make them as free-form pillows with delicate dips and peaks and serve them on a beautiful plate. All the pavlova is are egg whites, sugar, a little bit of cream of tartar, and lemon juice. And you just whisk this in a mixer until its shiny, glossy white peaks stand at attention. To bake it, you just spoon it onto some parchment paper in a big, round, free-form. It doesn't have to be a perfect circle. It can just be a nice pillowy round shape. Then you bake it very slowly at a very low temperature and let it remain in the oven to dry completely. The wonderful thing about the pavlova is how you adorn it. A lot of people serve it with whipped cream. I like to use a lot of fresh fruit with my pavlova. And in this case, I recently made a pavlova that I added a little hint of lavender essence to the egg white mixture. So when it was baking in the oven, you got this wonderful subtle floral scent throughout the house. I then also made a wonderful compote of deep red cherries that I cooked down with a little bit of honey and a touch of orange juice. I cooked the cherries until they were very thick, and I still had some whole cherries left. And to the top of the meringue, I just bathed it with this wonderful ruby red dressing, and it was absolutely stunning. When you crack into the meringue shell, you taste the sugary inside, and the sweetness of the wonderful fruit compote on top. It's truly an ethereal dessert. I love making these, and the other wonderful thing is you can make the pavlova shells themselves a couple days ahead of time. Make them and store them in an airtight container. You can do this up to 2 days ahead, and you can probably also make your cherry compote or your fruit compote, or even if it's a fruit salad that you're serving on top ahead of time. It's an easy dessert. It can be done ahead and served with a wonderful presentation.
Sounds awesome, Kathy. Check out Kathy's website, Butter, Flour, Sugar, Salt. I'm Valerie Smaldone. It's America Weekend. America
Weekend. Think green. Harrison with you. Discovery is reporting some shocking exploitation of the Amazon's natural resources, and this time it's water being stolen. Where's the water headed? Well, tankers are quietly removing water to be bottled and sold in Europe and the Middle East. This is coming at a time when regions of the northern Amazon have been experiencing a devastating drought that threatens the livelihoods of its people. There's actually a name for this now. It's called hydropiracy, and it could foreshadow a future of resource wars as clean water supplies become scarce worldwide. Each tanker is taking about 5 million gallons of Amazon River water, though totally illegal under Brazilian law. But for bottled water and soda companies, many of which are based here in the U.S., well, they say it's more profitable for them to treat fresh water than salt water. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
A first-round draft choice by the New York Knicks in 1982, this three-point shooter extraordinaire is best known for a shot that changed the rule book.
Tucker slashes it. It's good. It's good. Yes, it is possible to shoot with one tenth of a second left.
So where is Trent Tucker now? Trent started the Trent Tucker All for Kids Foundation in the late 90s, teaching middle schoolers to focus on their educational futures. He still runs the foundation to this day. Meanwhile, the Trent Tucker rule about how much time it takes to get off a shot is talked about in NBA games almost every night.
Go back to 1990. This is called the Trent Tucker rule.
Can't get an alley-oop.
That has to be a tip as they throw it at the basket.
Looks like Trent Tucker's left his mark on the game for good. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.